Church, say amen.
Amen.
Once again, we have been blessed by the God of heaven, in whom we live and move and have our very being, to have another day upon the face of this earth. We're certainly thankful again tonight on this final night of this series of gospel meetings for your presence. And we hope and trust that we can say something tonight that will exalt our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that will encourage those of us who are the children of God, and yet inform those who are not children of God as to what they must do in order to inherit eternal life. Eternal life is in Christ. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, the Bible said, "This is the record that God has given us eternal life.
Amen.
And this life is in his Son." So it is very clear that in order for a person to have life, to have eternal life,
amen,
they must be in Christ Jesus. I want to thank your very fine minister, Brother Amanzo Jones. I want to thank the elders, Brother Daniels and Brother Prowl, and this entire congregation for everything that you've done to make my stay what it has been.
Amen.
I want you to know that I appreciate this opportunity to come and to share my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it has been a blessing to you, as it has been to me, we hope and trust that we give God all the praise and the glory. To those who may be visiting with us on this evening, who may not share in our religious beliefs or conviction, you are an honored and esteemed guest. And we do encourage you to get your Bibles and to study along with us, that you may know whether or not these things are so. In Acts 17 and verse 11, the Bible says, "And these were more noble than they of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily to see whether or not these things were so." So we have been encouraging you all week to investigate these things to see whether or not they're right or whether they're wrong. And if you find them to be true, having not surrendered obedience to Jesus Christ, we're going to invite you to come to Jesus when we extend what we call an invitation song. And at the singing of that song, we want to encourage you to walk out by faith and surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Make that noble confession that you believe Christ to be the Son of God. And based upon that confession, be baptized into our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's good to see Brother and Sister Brinkley tonight, a fellow gospel preacher, and we just certainly want him to know we appreciate that wonderful prayer that he shared with us on tonight. Now, I want to invite your attention to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. And beginning at verse number 1 and concluding at verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and beginning at verse number 1 and concluding at verse number 10. The Bible says, "And you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in and time pass, you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. I want to speak from the subject this evening, but look at you now. But look at you now. In the previous chapters, the Apostle Paul discussed what God had done for us through the electoral process, in pardoning us, in positioning us, and in preparing us for our eternal inheritance. In the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 15, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15, he said, "And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for redemption of the transgression that was under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Those who faithfully serve the Lord will receive the promise of eternal inheritance." But the Apostle Paul begins this section of Scripture reminding the Ephesians of what they once were before the thrice holy God. The first thing that Paul speaks of is what we were. We were dead in trespasses and sin. Notice what the text said in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. The Bible said, "And you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The reason for the Ephesians spiritually being dead, or their spiritual death, according to Paul, was their trespasses and sin. In the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, Paul said to the church at Rome, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, he said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, since all have sinned at one time or another, all were spiritually dead in trespasses and sin, until such time we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, there are many people in our world today who are walking around, and yet they are dead in their trespasses and sin. Paul was not out to depress his readers, quite the opposite. Only by seeing clearly our status in our trespassing and sin, how death came by sin, and the reality of evil, can we truly appreciate God's love, God's mercy, and God's grace. See, Paul starts out by showing us what we used to be in contrast to what God has done as a result of the manifestation of his love, his mercy, and his grace. We all were dead in our wrongdoing, dominated by our failures, controlled by disobedience, and were doomed by our trespasses and sin. Some of us were dead in sexual immorality. Some were dead in sexual perversion. Some were dead in thievery. Some were dead in slander and gossip. Some were dead in swindling. Some were dead on dope. And some were dead. Some were dead drunk. But all were dead in trespasses and sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and beginning at verse 9, listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9. Paul said, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicator, nor idolaters, nor adulterer, nor effeminate, nor abuser of themselves with mankind, nor thief, nor covetous, nor drunkard, nor reveler, or extortioner, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. See, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful tonight from where God bought me from what I used to be to what I am now in Christ Jesus. Every now and then, people may have a moment in their life when they may say to me, or they may say to you, I remember the way you were, But all of us who are in Christ can simply say to them, but look at me now, that I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now that I've been sanctified, and now that I've been justified, there's a lot of us don't like to remember what we used to be. But I'm so glad that I hadn't forgot from where I came from, because I know it was not me that brought me to where I am now, but it was the grace of God. It was the mercy of God. It was the love of God. So regardless to what people say, when they say, but I remember how you were some years ago, I just tell them, but look at me now. I know some of us would like to think that others was worse than we were, but we all were dead in trespasses and sin, right, apart from Jesus Christ. It didn't matter whether or not you drunk one beer or whether you drunk a six pack. It didn't matter whether you smoked dope every now and then or whether you were a dope head. It didn't matter, because see, some folk want to try to downplay their own sin as though they were not that bad. But I want you to understand that before you came to Jesus Christ, all of us was dead in trespasses and sin. Let me illustrate it like this. During the earthly ministry of Jesus, he raised three people from the dead. One was Jairus' daughter, who had been dead only a few minutes. Then there was the son of the widow of Nain, and he had been dead about 24 hours. And then there was Lazarus. He had been dead for 4 whole days. But my question is simply this: which one was the most dead? They were all dead. One was dead a few minutes, and one a few hours, and one a few days. But all of them were dead. So don't come trying to tell me that my sin was worse than your sin when you was living separate and apart from Jesus Christ. We all were dead in trespasses and sin. That's what Paul is trying to tell them, that we all were dead. Listen, just because one sinner may look better than another sinner doesn't make him any less of a sinner. He's still a sinner. One may be a beautiful woman and another a debauched old man, but dead is dead. When a person is dead in their trespasses and sin, before I could get to the good part, I had to tell you what we were. And Paul said that we were dead in trespasses and sin before we came to know Jesus Christ, before we was quickened, before we were made alive. He said we were dead in trespasses and sin. But then Paul speaks of what we are. See, the first point talks about our past, but now he speaks of what we are. We have been quickened or made alive in Christ Jesus. In our present state,
in that God has gotten us out of our dilemma through Jesus Christ. You do know that when we were dead in trespass and sin, we was in a dilemma. God got us out of our dilemma through Jesus Christ, and that we have been quickened, made alive, raised from our deadness to walk in the newness of life as a result of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, and beginning at verse number 4 and verse 5, listen what Paul said, and then we're going to drop down and read verses 8 and 9 in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 4 and 5. After Paul told us what we were, he said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now watch this real carefully. The Bible said, but God, who was rich in mercy, God, who is rich in excessive love, even when we were dead in sin, dead in trespassing, he called us by the gospel and made us alive in Christ by his unmerited favor, in order to make us trophies of his grace for the world to see what he has done, to see what he's doing, and see what he's going to do by his grace. Many accomplished athletes, they have trophies. And when you go into some of these accomplished athletes' home, you'll see their trophies on display. And God wants us to be his spiritual trophies on display, so the world can see what he's done by his grace. In Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11, listen to what Paul told Titus. In Titus 2 and verse 11, he said, for the grace of God, which bringeth salvation, has appeared unto all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The grace of God that was manifested in Jesus Christ. The Bible said in John 1 and verse 14, the Bible said, and the Word became flesh, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It is in Christ Jesus that we are those who are the recipients of the grace of God. The Apostle Paul was a perfect example of God's grace, of God's mercy at work on the worst of sinners. You remember the Apostle Paul, before he became the Apostle Paul, he was the one that was notorious for persecuting the church and trying to destroy the church of the living God. But then in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and beginning at verse 13, as Paul is reflecting back on his lying, watch what God's grace, watch what God's mercy, watch what God's love done for Paul, and how God, through Jesus Christ, made a spiritual trophy of Paul so Paul could be displayed, so people could see what God had done through Paul. See, even though your friend might remember what you once were, you might have been the worst person they've ever known. You might have been a bad sinner, but look at you now. Look at what God's grace has done in your life. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, he said, who was before a blasphemer? See, Paul didn't have no trouble letting folk know what he used to be. He said, before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace, there's the word, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. But I really like verse 16, where he said, how being for this cause or for this reason, I obtain mercy that in me, first Jesus Christ might show form all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Every now and then you ought to find you a sinner and tell them your story. Tell them how you were when you were out there in that world, because there are some folk who don't feel worthy to be saved. They don't feel like they're deserving. It's okay to talk about Paul and how God saved them, worst of sinners. But every now and then, we need to tell other folk our story so that people can see in real life what God's grace can do. And you can tell them your story and tell them what you used to be. And then you can tell them, but look at me now. That's what my past was. And if God can bring me from where I used to be to where I am now. I remember some years ago down in Greenville, Mississippi, Brother Jones, there was a young lady. Her name was Lily. And Lily lived down in Florida at this present time. And Lily was giving herself a hard time. And she was really talking about how life didn't seem fair. And I sat her down one day and I began to tell Lily my story. And I told Lily how God brought me through this and how God brought me through that and how even the devil tried to kill me. And when I stopped telling my story, she looked at her story and she said, my story is not as bad as it seemed, but look at me now. Even though I used to be in the streets, God brought me out of the streets. Even though I've been on dope and been on drum, God brought me out of that storm. And look at me now, got me preaching the word of God. I'm trying to tell you, this evening that you ought to tell your story every now and then so other folk can know where you've been, and then tell them, but look at me now. See, people need some real stories. People need some real stories. They need to know that yours and my stories are real. Because see, sometimes people look at the Bible as antiquated. They look at the Bible as though the Bible is just an old book. But when you take and apply the Bible to your life and then tell your story, they can see that it's real. I mean, what Paul wanted us to understand, that God found the worst sinner he could find in Paul and brought him out of what he came up in and made a proclaimer of the gospel. See, when you bring a dead man or woman back to life, it has to be by grace. I'm sure tonight that many of us have attended a funeral before. And there's only been one case, and this was not at a funeral. You all may have seen this on the news here in Nashville. But in a little town in Mississippi called Lexington, Mississippi, where me and my wife got married and I used to preach. The hospital my wife used to work at, the coroner declared a man dead and put him in the freezer. And somebody went back there and saw him wiggling his toes trying to get out. They had it all over the news. I was living in Ohio at the time. So I'm not talking about an incident like that. I'm talking about when a person is dead, he's stressed out, she's stressed out, down here, right down in front. When you bring a dead man or woman back to life, it has to be of grace. I'm saying that to say that when God saved you, when he brought you from your deadness in your trespassing sin, he had to do it by grace. There was nothing you could do for yourself to save yourself when you were dead. I mean, what could a dead person do for themselves? Someone has to do it for them. And that is why grace, salvation, is by grace. God had to do it for us. It reminds me, Brother Jones, of a story that Jerry Clower told about a man who was sick. And this gentleman was sick, and his neighbor would carry soup over to him while he was sick. Every day, he would fix some soup and carry it to him. One day, the man finally died. When everybody was coming to the funeral, here come this man down front with a bowl of soup. They said to that fella, "So what are you doing?" He said, "I'm bringing him some soup." They said, "He can't eat your soup." He said, "Well, I figured that if he can smell y'all flour, he can eat this soup." See, if God does not do it for the man, it simply will not happen. You can't give a dead man life by example. I don't care how well you live, you can't give a dead man life by example. You can't give him lying through education. You can't give him lying through a better environment. You cannot give him lying by encouragement. Even though a society full of spiritual zombies have tried them all, God's grace came by Jesus Christ. But what was God's intended purpose in saving us by grace? Yes, God bought those of us who are now in Christ from a state of corruptness to a state of being a new creature in Christ in order to display us as trophies of his grace for the world to see what his grace had done, what it can do in us, and how his grace can work in their life and do the very same thing. God made a new creature out of me, and he can make a new creature out of any sinner in Davidson County, in 2 Timothy or 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. The Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We were corrupt, but now in Christ we have been made or created anew. In Ephesians chapter number 2, and noting what he said in verse number 6, Paul told the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 2 and verse 6, he said, and have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he may show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. God wants to show us all, like an athlete shows all his trophies. He wants to display them so that what he's done in us, he wants others to see he can do likewise to them. So I want you to understand that the reason God has done what he done, it is to his praise and glory. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, but ye are chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past was not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. God wants to take the fellow off the corner who is dead in trespassing and sin and make him one of his trophies of his grace in the body of Christ. God wants to take the woman who feels that she had no other choice and about some things in her life and make her one of his trophies of his grace in order to tell the world that if God did it for me, if God did it for you, God will also do it for everybody else. See, you got to be willing to trust in what God can do for you. The Bible tells us in Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. See, we ought to be given it's unto God's praise and his glory. We ought to be praising God for what he's done in our life, in the church. Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21, the Bible said, now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul says it like this, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to thee which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. I don't know how you feel about it, but I am thankful tonight that God called me out of the world into the body of Christ, into the church of Christ, and I'm going to praise his name. I'm going to bring glory to him in the way I talk and the way I walk, because God has saved me as a result of his mercy and his grace. So what if I used to be like this, that, and the other? Just look at me now. Just look at me now. I'm one of God's trophies. God has me on display. Because, see, God wants the world to see that he can make a difference in every young man, young woman, middle-aged man, middle-aged woman, and those in their golden years. It doesn't matter. God said, I can make a difference in your life if you'll give your life to Jesus Christ. And all of your yesterdays will be your past. And you can say, but look at me now. Because of what God's grace, what God's mercy, and what his love has done in your life. And God said, now I want the world to see that what I've done in you, I can do in them. See, God wants us to show the world that. See, Paul understood that. Paul said he was a pattern. He was an example. So that others who would believe would also understand that if God can go find the worst sinner and save him by his grace, he can save anybody. No, listen, sometimes I've heard people say they didn't feel deserving. And you know what I tell them? That's the right way to feel, because none of us deserves it. None of us deserve it. God saved us by his grace, that we, through Jesus Christ, have been created as his craftsmanship. I don't know if you've ever, they do it a little bit different now, but I know back when I was growing up, there were some men who used to have wood shops. And man, they could go out there in that wood shop with the skills they had and come out with some masterpieces. See, that's what God wants to do with you and me. He wants to take us and we land over here in this pile with the rest of the world and abstract us out of it by the gospel. But he wants to make a masterpiece out of us. So that when the world see us, we don't even look like the person they used to know. Because we are new creatures in Christ Jesus.
You may be here tonight and you're not a Christian, you're not a child of God. Jesus has already done for you what you could not do for yourself. And he died, he was buried, and rose again. You got to be willing to believe that tonight. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. John 7:38. Be willing to repent of your sins. That is to come out of what is wrong, turn from it, leave it alone, and come to Jesus Christ with a made up mind that you're going to repent. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering over toward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants every person to reach their turning point. And then be willing to confess that you believe Christ to be the Son of God. Matthew 10:32, whosoever confess me before men, he will also confess me before my Father which is in heaven. You must acknowledge him. And then Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He believeth not shall be damned. And when a person was saved in the Bible, they was added to the church. Well, preacher, how many? Just one. That's all it was. It belonged to Christ. It was the church of Christ, and it's still the church of Christ. Sometimes it's called the body. Ephesians 4:4. Sometimes it's called the kingdom. Galatians 1:13. But it's the same institution. It's called the kingdom because he's the king and we're his subjects. It's called the body because he's the head and we the members. It's called the church because we are the ones he called out and put us in the church. If you're here tonight and you're a member of the church and you need to repent of something in your life that may not be right between you and God, make it right with the Lord. Let the world see his grace and his mercy at work in your life. I tell people, you know, sometimes folk think that God has to do something bad to them before he, you know, before they look to him. No, no, no. His goodness ought to be enough.
Yes, sir.
His goodness ought to be enough for you to want to repent. Will you come to Jesus tonight? Come to him as Galloway stand and sing. He bids you to come.
Of sin, there's power in the blood.